reporter. A number of listeners have been asking for a gruesome story. The police reporter has brought you one.
On March 27, 1931, the New York police were in a frenzy attempting to solve the now famous Star Faithful case when the story you're about to hear broke over the heads of an already overworked homicide squad. The time is about 10:30 in the morning and the scene is the Williamsburg Bridge.
Hey, what do you want, lady?
I want that bundle. I saw it first.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm a-taking that bundle. I got it first.
You get fresh about it, and I'll call a cop.
Yeah, if you do that, neither of us will get the bundle. He'll take it to the Lost and Found Department.
Well, let's take a look at it. Maybe I won't want it after I see it.
All right, I'll open it, and we'll go 50-50. Okay, lady?
That's fair enough. It's a pretty big bundle, ain't it?
Yeah, she's heavy, too. I wonder what's in it. Hey, it's meat. That's what it is, meat.
Meat? Oh! It's a man!
Three days later in a lumber yard in Brooklyn.
Mr. Newton! Mr. Newton!
Well, what is it, Hattie? What's the matter? What's the matter?
I just found something!
Well, what are you getting so excited about?
Oh, it's awful, awful!
Say, what is this? Calm down, and let's hear about it.
I was getting some lumber off on one of the piles to fill an order when I sees a bundle wrapped up in brown paper. It was right in the middle of the pile.
Well?
Well, I opened it, and it was a man's body without no arms or legs or head!
Two days later in another part of Brooklyn.
Hello. Hello, give me the Homicide Bureau. Hello, Homicide? This is Patrolman Gawler. Badge 48762. I'm off duty today, so I goes across the street to dig up some dirt for my flower boxes, see? I just dug up a big package wrapped in brown paper. Yeah, there's two arms, a leg, and a man's head in it. At Morgan Avenue and 10 Ike Street. Okay, I'll wait for you.
After Patrolman Gawler's find was taken to the morgue, the homicide squad had the final pieces of this grisly jigsaw puzzle in their possession. It was now up to them to discover the identity of the dead man and to find his murderer. The case was turned over to Detective Colgan, who went to police scientists to get what information they could give him.
Say, listen, Doc. That Brooklyn murder has just been turned over to me.
Oh, you mean the guy who was cut up?
Yeah. They told me you fellas had been on the case, so I thought I'd find out what I could from you before I start out on it.
Well, here's all I can tell you. The body we have is that of a man between 35 and 40. He's been dead about 2 weeks and put on ice to keep him fresh. Whoever cut him up knew something about anatomy, so it must have been done either by a doctor or a butcher.
You got any idea who the guy might be?
Not the least. Couldn't get a thing out of the Missing Persons Bureau. Nobody's been looking for anyone who answers his description.
Well, that means just one thing.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Whoever killed him is the only person who'd miss him.
Yeah, looks like it.
It's going to be a pretty tough nut to crack. What do you think, Doc?
I'm afraid so, but it can be done.
Well, I'm taking a try at it anyway. You got any clues at all?
Yes, one, and it's a pip.
What is it?
The shirt the head was wrapped in.
Have any laundry mark?
We couldn't find any at first, but finally a chemist brought one out.
Good. Could you trace it?
Yeah. A man in the department found out the shirt belonged to a guy named Joseph Klein at 78 Bartlett Street.
You think the shirt belonged to the dead man?
Well, it fits him.
Well, then the dead man is Joseph Klein of 78 Bartlett Street.
Oh, I don't know. You'll have to verify that.
Well, I'm starting on it right now, and I don't mind telling you, I think it's a pretty good start.
Detective Colgan discovered that Joseph Klein and Andrew Zubitsky had operated a speakeasy at 78 Bartlett Street, from which address the shirt had been sent to the laundry. The two men had quarreled and dissolved their partnership. The premises at 78 Bartlett Street were vacant. Then Colgan learned from the neighbors that one of the two men had opened a speakeasy on Throop Street, also in Brooklyn. So he hurried over there.
Say, you used to have a place on Bartlett Street, didn't you?
Yeah, but I couldn't get along with my partner, so we split up.
Where's your partner now?
I don't know. Somebody told me he opened a place somewhere.
You know the address?
No. Why should I bother about him?
Your name's Zubitsky, ain't it?
No, that was my partner's name. I'm Joseph Klein.
You're Klein?
Yeah. What about it?
Nothing. Say, did you ever see this shirt before, Klein?
No, I don't think so. Why?
You're sure it never belonged to you?
Sure, I'm sure. I never owned a shirt like that in my life. See, it's too small for me. I wear a 16, and this ain't more than a 14 and a half.
It's got your laundry mark on it, Klein. What have you got to say about that?
Say, listen, fella, what's the idea of coming in my place and asking a lot of screwy questions? I ain't...
I'm Colgan from Homicide Squad, and this shirt was found wrapped around a murdered man's head.
A what?
You heard me, and if you know what's good for you, you'll tell me what I want to know.
Say, what is this? Some new kind of a shakedown?
What do you mean, shakedown?
You know. I'm running a speak. You're a cop. Now, how much do you want?
Say, if I thought you knew what you were talking about, Klein, I'd bust you smack in the nose.
See, I don't get you at all, fella.
Say, how long you been in this saloon business?
Oh, about 6 years.
What'd you do before you went into this?
I was a butcher.
You were a what?
A butcher.
Hey, this is getting better every minute.
Now, look here, copper. Let's get down to cases. What's this all about?
You read the papers, don't you? You read about that murder where we found parts of a guy all over Brooklyn.
Sure, but what's that got to do with me?
Well, that job was done by a butcher, Klein. And a shirt with your laundry mark on it is wrapped around the guy's head.
Do you mean that?
That's why I'm here, to find out what you know about it.
Why, I don't know anything about it. Honest, I don't. Gee, fella, this is terrible. You don't think I did it, do you?
Well, I don't know whether you did or not, but the least you can do is to tell me what you know.
Sure, but I don't know what you want to find out.
Well, first let's settle this shirt business. If it ain't yours, it must belong to somebody who sent his clothes to the laundry with yours. You anybody like that?
I don't think so. Yeah, Zubitsky used to send his clothes out with mine. He was too lazy to take them himself, so he used to stick them in my bundle when I went to the laundry.
You're certain of that?
Sure I am. And his doing that has gotten me into all this trouble.
We don't know yet. That shirt may not mean a thing. You want to come with me?
Where to?
Down to the morgue, see if you can identify the corpse.
Then you think it's Zubitsky?
Well, the shirt fits him. Now, I'm not passing up any bets.
Klein identified the body as that of Andrew Zubitsky, his former partner. We now go to another speakeasy, that of Mr. and Mrs. Zubitsky.
Hello, Klein. What you want?
A beer. What's yours, Colgan?
Same.
Two beers.
Where's your old man, Mrs. Zubitsky?
He's gone someplace. I don't know where.
When are you expecting back?
I don't know. Maybe never.
You mean he ain't around anymore?
Yeah. He's gone about a month now.
Well, what happened? Did he take a run-out powder on you?
What's that?
Did he run away from you?
I don't know. He went away about a month ago. He don't come back.
Well, what do you know about that? What do you think happened to him?
I think he go back to the old country. He don't like it over here.
Why didn't you go with him?
I don't like it in the old country. Want another drink?
Not for me.
Not, I guess, for me either. Mrs. Zubitsky, do you know your husband's dead?
You're crazy.
No, I'm not crazy. Klein here just identified him down at the morgue. He's been murdered.
That's not my husband. That's somebody else.
No, it ain't. It's Andrew. I just saw him. He's the guy the papers have been full of. The guy they cut up.
You're fooling.
No, we're not fooling. I'm from the Homicide Squad, and I'm taking a look around here, see?
What for? What do you want? You keep out of there.
This guy's a cop, and he's investigating Andrew's murder.
What are you going to find here? I don't want no cops. Bad for business.
You can't do anything about it. He won't go till he gets ready.
Hey, what do you use this mop for, Mrs. Zubitsky?
I don't use it. Charlie bought that.
Charlie? Who's Charlie?
A fella what works for me.
Does Charlie Obreedus work for you now?
Yeah.
Hey, do you know this Obreedus guy?
Sure, I know him. Used to hang around our place on Bartlett Street. Worked in the neighborhood.
What'd he do?
Oh, he did something in a butcher shop.
Another butcher. Hey, where's this guy now, Mrs. Zabisky?
He's upstairs asleep.
We'll get him down here right away. Well, what are you waiting for?
We're going to attend bar.
Say, how long is it going to take you to get him down here? Come on, move!
All right.
You sure she won't run away?
Oh, I don't think so. Well, Klein, you've helped me a lot. I'm sorry I had to take up so much of your time.
Oh, that's all right. I'm just getting myself out of a jam.
Hey, before they come back, tell me what you know about this fellow she's gone up to get.
Oh, nothing much. He's a pretty heavy drinker, and he used to hang around Mrs. Zubitsky a lot.
I'm beginning to get the drift. Do you know anything about her?
Not much, except that Zubitsky was her second or third husband. Neither one of them ever talked much, and I never asked them anything. I asked her once how she met Zubitsky, but she wouldn't tell me.
What'd she say?
She said she'd cut out her tongue when she left the old country.
Look out, here they come. Watch me give them both a surprise.
Mrs. Zubitsky say you want to talk to me.
Yeah. Get your coat on. I want you to come along with me.
There we go.
We're going down to the morgue.
What is that?
That's the place where they keep dead people.
What I want to go there for?
You're coming down to take a look at Andrew Zubitsky's body.
I don't want to see him.
Then you know he's dead.
Yes, I told him.
Oh, you did. Obritus, where'd you get this mop?
Buy it to clean up the place.
Well, what do you need a mop for? The floor's covered with sawdust. You can sweep that out.
Well, I think that I...
Take a good look at that mop, Obritus. Do you know what that hard black stuff is around the edges? It's blood. Look at it.
Don't stick that in my face.
You know whose blood it is? It's Andrew Zubitsky.
No, no.
It is. You know it is. You killed him, didn't you? Didn't you?
Take him off of me. Take it away from me.
You killed Andrew Zubitsky, didn't you?
Yeah, I did it. I did it because she wanted me to.
A liar.
Shut up, you.
I ain't lying. I'm telling the truth. She gave me $300 to kill him. I wait right outside that door with meat cleaver. Andrew, he drunk. When he come in, I hit. Then I cut him up and put him in the icebox. I take pieces and leave them round here and there. Now you'll catch me. That's all.
And believe me, that's plenty, Obritus.
Charles Obritus is serving 35 years at hard labor for his part in the crime. Mrs. Zubitsky beat the murder charge, but was sent up for forging her husband's name to a bonus check after he was dead.
Again, the police reporter proves that crime does not pay. If you have a favorite type of true murder mystery, write the police reporter in care of this station and tell him what you would like to hear. Listen for the police reporter. This is a radio release production.